Good morning, Preston Wood. Good to see you today. Let's just stand together. The presence of God is with us today.
Just one word, you calm the storm that surrounds me. Just one word, the darkness has to retreat.
Come on.
Just one touch, I feel the presence of heaven. Just one touch, my eyes were open to see. My heart can't help but believe. There's nothing that our God can do. There's not a mountain that He can move. Oh, praise the name that makes a way. There's nothing that our God can do. Just one word, you hear what's broken inside. Just one word, and you revive every dream. And just one touch, I feel the power of heaven. And just one touch, my eyes are open to see. My heart can't help but believe.
House of the Lord. Any fathers in the building today? Come on, let me see your hand. Dads, happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to my dad, Bob, who's watching from Florida. I love you. What a privilege to celebrate our dads today. As we call upon the name of the Lord today, He inhabits our praise. One of the things I love about Prestonwood, this church, this is a house right here. This is a house of praise. So my question's for you, fathers and mothers, what kind of house are we creating at home? Is it a house full of the Word, full of life, full of mercy and forgiveness, full of love and full of hope? Are we commending our faith one generation to another? Deuteronomy 6, the Shema, verse 4, which simply means hear. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and soul and strength. Teach it to your children. Impress it upon them. Write it on your wrists and on your forehead. Write it on the doorposts of your home, at the gates. The Lord our God is one God. Is your house a house of praise? Is your house where the Lord is in control? This house today, we're going to celebrate that this house is His house. Amen? Are you with me? We're going to declare it today. Declare it over our homes. Declare it in this place today.
The place where your love is found, a place where forgiveness and joy abounds, where one endless song resounds, how great you are.
That's right. Come on, declare it.
A place where the word brings life, a place full of hope where faith will rise and worship breaks through the night. How great you are.
All right, everybody sing it, come on.
This house will be a house of praise with hands held high to bless your name. Jesus Christ, our cornerstone, this house is yours and yours alone. A place where the shadows flee,
so good to be with you. Happy Father's Day. We have six that are following Christ in baptism this morning, and we're starting off with a husband and a wife. Church, this is Corey Morton. Corey, are you following Christ in baptism this morning because you have trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Amen. Because of that public profession of faith, it's my joy to baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is Corey's wife, Andrea. Andrea, are you following Christ in baptism this morning because you've trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Because of your public profession of faith, it's my joy to baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Congratulations. And this is Mary Curtin. Mary, are you following Christ in baptism this morning because you've trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Amen. Because of that public profession of faith, it's my joy to baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And this is Gabriella Ellsbury. Church family, Gabby recently moved just a few weeks ago from the UK, did not know Jesus, but since, over the last several weeks, has come to know Jesus Christ as her personal Lord and Savior. Gabriella, are you being baptized this morning because you've trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Amen. Because of that public profession of faith, it's my joy to baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Church family, this is a special, special Father's Day for me because I have the absolute joy and privilege of baptizing my son, Jeremiah James Matthews. Jeremiah, are you following Christ in baptism this morning because you have trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Because of that public profession of faith, it's my absolute joy and privilege to baptize you, my son and brother in the faith, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life.
I love you, buddy.
Here we are at Beach Camp 22, where we have seen God do some incredible things this week. Every single morning, we woke up with silent sounds on the beach. That's where our students spend time in God's Word. Each night, we've had an amazing time of worship where God has moved powerfully through the teaching and preaching of His Word. Tonight, we are celebrating with believers' baptism and celebrating the fact that God changed over 200 lives this week from salvation, rededication, repentance, baptism, and even called to ministry. Thank you for giving generously, and thank you for providing an opportunity for us to come here and reach this generation with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Throughout the summer, we want to ask that you would continue to please give generously as we continue to see God move.
Amen, amen. Let's give God praise together. My name is Scott Turner. We're so happy to have you. Welcome to Prestonwood. What a great testimony of faith and believers' baptism in Beach Camp. Can we give God just thank you, Jesus, for what He's doing in our church family? We want to welcome those of you that are here and those joining us online to Prestonwood. When you came in today, you should have received a Prestonwood today. But if you did not, you can text the word GUIDE to 74788, the word GUIDE to 74788. And for all of our guests that are here this morning in person and online, we want to connect with you as well. So if you would, text the word CONNECT to 74788. Y'all try that when you get home. Text the word CONNECT to 74788, and we love to stay in touch with you. Well, we have a tremendous service today. How many know that we are in the house of the Lord this morning? And the Spirit of the Lord is with us. We have a wonderful message from our pastor. I'm going to pray for us. And then we're going to have a video where we'll see the next generation of worshipers singing and praising God. And on this Father's Day, those of us that are fathers, let us remember, as Michael said, the next generation coming behind us to teach them how to worship and praise and honor God. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for this wonderful day, Father, that you have given us. Lord God, we pray for your presence to be with us. Lord God, we pray for the worshipers that are in the house this morning, that, Father, as we sing with our voices, as we lift our hands, that you, Jesus, will be glorified. We thank you for our pastor. We pray you would anoint his lips as he brings forth the gospel. And, Father God, we thank you for all the fathers in the house, those that are here and those that are online. We pray, God, for a special favor and blessing upon their lives. Help them to lead in the way you've called them to lead and live the way you've called them to live. And, Father, this day we give you the glory because you are so wonderful. We thank you for Jesus who shed his blood on the cross. And may you be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen.
How sweet is that? I'm so grateful for schools like PCA and parents like you that are continuously putting the praises of the Lord on the lips of the next generation. Can we join our kids in singing that verse just as one church family over our church, over our families this morning? The Lord bless you. Would you sing that with me?
The Lord bless you and keep you.
You sing.
Make his face shine upon you. Be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. My words for sure. I've got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? I could sing these songs as I often do, but every song must end, and you never do. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. It's all that I have is a except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah. I've got one response, I've got just one move. With my arms stretched wide, I will hallelujah, hallelujah.
Well, good morning, everyone. Happy Father's Day. God bless you. And the title of this message is Men Who Win. You can begin finding in your Bible, 2 Timothy chapter 4. And as you are on your way there, just let me reflect just for a moment on this past week and what God is doing in the lives of this next or new generation that is coming along. Something very special is happening. You see it even in the video of the children. Those were preschoolers at Prestonwood Christian Academy. I had about three in there, I think, and I've been in there when they sing the blessing, and I'm telling you, it buckles me every time just to see the blessing poured out. And so God bless all the dads today and granddads, and that includes those of you who are watching online and those who are not even with us today. So Michael Neal gave a shout out to his dad watching online. So I think I'll just give a shout out to my dad, Tom, who is in heaven. Amen. I don't know if he's hearing it or not, but I know he lived a great life in front of me and gave me an incredible opportunity. And we're going to be talking today a bit about legacy. And I'm grateful for the spiritual heritage and legacy of my father and our family. But just thinking about what the Lord is doing, and in great part due to the great parenting by moms and dads to invest in their children. And we see it in our children. We see it in our children's ministry. I saw it last week at camp. Certainly all those statistics are stunning, and so many kids coming to Christ. If you didn't check it on the screen, there were 125 baptisms at beach camp last week, including a gentleman who was out fishing and saw it all, came and said, you know what, I need to profess my faith in Christ and be baptized. It was random, but the Holy Spirit led us, and so just God is moving. And to give you a sense of, I've been telling our student leadership, thanks to Jason Mick and his entire team and all the sponsors and everyone who led so well and served so well, but I got an email from an individual who was at Waterscape in Fort Walton Beach. Fort Walton Beach is where we have the camp. And her name is, I believe, Teresa. Yes, Teresa. And here's what she wrote. It's so good, I wanted to share it with you because it talks about your kids, our Prestonwood family and all of their friends and guests who joined us. Good afternoon. I'm currently vacationing at Waterscape in Fort Walton Beach. We came back from dinner very late on Monday night to buses and kids everywhere. How would you like to go on vacation and the next thing you know, you got 1,000 kids around you? Kids have been everywhere every day. You should be incredibly proud of this group. They're everywhere. And each and every interaction with these kids was a blessing. They have been respectful and polite and kind and a beautiful representation of the love of God and the love and belief and support coming from all of you there. That means you, Prestonwood. Amen. And I've not seen one instance of anything you would not be proud of. As I was heading to the beach this afternoon, the elevator doors opened to being packed with young men. I told them I would wait, and they all assured me there was room for me with them and seemed happy that I accepted. We teach our young men to stand in honor of those to whom honor is due and respect people. Most kids this age would snicker about an old lady imposing, but not these boys. I got settled under an umbrella at the beach and called my husband at home to wish him a happy birthday, as his health makes it impossible for him to come along on this trip. But after we spoke, I was sitting there thinking, I really need to reach out to let you know the good stuff. When Sadie and Haley stopped at my chair, they told me who they were, where they were from, why they were here, and asked me if there was anything they could pray for with me about. We spoke for a few minutes about the difficult world in which we live, about the difficulties of poor health and the poor choices that eventually contribute to poor health. Smoking specifically. That's her words, not mine. And that at the end of our time here, God is all that matters. And good decisions along the way are critical. These bold young women took my hands in theirs and prayed for me and my husband and blessed us immensely. Amen. So to their parents, to their sponsors, to their leaders and mentors at home, great job. Arming these children to spread the good news in this crazy world, you have so much to be proud of. Love from a sister in Christ, Teresa. So, we are so blessed and so grateful. That song you just heard, that's on repeat. In fact, most mornings I get up and say, Alexa, play gratitude. And I'm praising the Lord. And I'm praising God for all that He's doing in our lives these days and in the lives of the generation that is to come. And as the scripture says, as the song delivers, may the favor be upon you, His favor. And throughout all generations, amen and amen. So to all the dads and granddads and the wives and the mothers and the sisters and the brothers who love them, God bless you and thank you. So the question is, what kind of legacy are you leaving? The real question, as I've often said, is not what kind of legacy are we leaving, but men and women, what kind of legacy are we living? Because the legacy you live will be the legacy you leave. An inheritance is what you give your children, what you leave your children behind, but your legacy is what you put in your children. And every dad and mom has an opportunity to live this legacy, and not only to leave an inheritance, but to live this legacy, and it's a lasting legacy, because you live your legacy and yours will be a lasting legacy. The Apostle Paul gives us great counsel, and I might even say coaching, because you're going to see an athletic theme, a metaphor show up in the passage that is in front of us, because he's talking about winning in life, calling this message men who win, but of course it means Christians who win. Men and women who win at life as they follow Christ. This is a familiar text to many of us. It's often a text that we hear read or reflected upon at funeral services. But I pray that it is not only something that is said when we are gone, but something that is said about you and me, as the Apostle Paul could say it so long ago, in celebration. It's a motivation. And it is an exhortation. It is a spiritual challenge to every one of us. So in 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 8, he says, as for me, and I'm reading in the New Living Translation today just to give you just a little different flavor of what this is saying. As for me, my life has already been poured out as an offering to God, and the time of my death is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. And I have remained faithful. And now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day of his return. And the prize is not just for me, but for all who eagerly look forward to its appearing, or his appearing. Great challenge, great coaching from the greatest Christian who ever lived, in my opinion. The Apostle Paul. We see Paul's passion, his perseverance, his resilient and robust faith as he nears the finish line. He is delivering these words to his son in the ministry, Timothy, because Timothy is now charged to carry on the witness and the work of the gospel of Christ, to making that transfer is so very important from Paul to Timothy. It's so good to have spiritual fathers in our lives. Physical fathers, yes, but also spiritual fathers and men who mentor us in life. I had one, my pastor, and I'm always grateful for him and think of him in times like these as my father in the ministry. There are actually three tenses in this text, a present tense, a past tense, and a future tense. As Paul is guiding us and giving us this powerful, persuasive motivation that we would be men and women who win for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to cover the text with three simple headings. There's going to be closing or closure, and then we're going to see contending or competing, and then finally celebrating. So first, closing. For the Apostle Paul says at the outset of this, the time of my death is drawing near. He's coming to the end, to the finish line. The great apostle is running his last lap. So I don't want you to think of the Apostle Paul in prison writing this letter to Timothy and the church and to Christians from generation to generation. I don't want you to see him as a defeated, depressed, despondent old man just waiting for the end to come. No. The Apostle Paul is a man in full because his heart is full of Jesus. And he's fully finishing and giving his all to the calling of God upon his life. We need men like this today, men who win, who live and die in triumph and in victory. Men like Paul, who earlier said to the Philippians, "For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain." This is not a troubled man as he comes to the finish line, to the end of his life, but a triumphant man. He said, "To win means I live in Christ and I die in Christ." To live is Christ. You can't defeat a man or a woman like this. To live is Christ. He said, "I have a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. The best day of your life, believer, is the day you first see Jesus face to face." Your best days are yet ahead. The days when you meet Jesus face to face, when he comes to you. So this is Paul. He is closing, and he's closing well. I like the metaphor of a closer here. You got to finish. And when you finish, you win. You can't defeat a finisher, a closer. He looks at his death. He says, "The time of my death is near," and that's how this is paraphrased in this passage. But there are two ways that Paul was looking at his death. Two descriptions, if you will, vivid imagery. One, he said, "My life is now being poured out like a drink offering, a libation, an Old Testament drink offering." And he says, "Now we're coming down to the last drops." And with the last drops of Paul, you weren't getting the dregs. You were getting everything that he has still as he's pouring out his life. I like the way Phillips paraphrases this in his translation of the New Testament. He says, "The last drops of my blood are being poured out." Paul is being poured out as a sacrifice. So he first sees his homegoing, his death, as a sacrifice, as an offering. He offered himself and challenged us in Romans 12, verse 1, to present ourselves, our bodies, as a living sacrifice to God. He's been living it, now he's dying it. He's a sacrifice to God. The day he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, 30 years previous to this, the day he met Jesus, he was totally and completely transformed. From that day forward, he was all in and completely the Lord, body, soul, and spirit. He gave everything that he had. And because of this, he's saying, "Now at the end, I'm laying it all down. I'm pouring it all out." And then he said, "The time of my departure or death is near, is nearing." He knew he was going to die. He would die at the hands of Nero and the Romans, who would execute him. So he knew that this was the end on this side of eternity. And he described his death, and it's given in this way in most translations, the time of my death or departure is now come. This is a vivid and beautiful word. So many of the words of the New Testament in the Greek language are word pictures. And this is one of the great word pictures in the New Testament, because he said it's a departure. And this word was used by all kinds of people in that era. The departure, for example, was used of a prisoner. When a prisoner was set free, it was a departure. Set free, out of jail, out of prison. And Paul is describing his departure as being set free, not only out of the physical chains and prison, but out of the chains that of this body and out of the chains that bind us in this world. He's saying, I'm going to be set free from all of that. And not only was it a prisoner's word, but it was a philosopher's word. In fact, the very word, we get our word analysis from the word here. And have you ever had a problem that you couldn't solve? Just something, it was a knotty problem in your head, you couldn't solve it. Maybe it was a big, deep spiritual question of some kind, and you're just thinking about it over and over. It's like I'm doing when I'm doing my Wordle. Are you doing Wordle? It's good for the brain. And you get there, and you're putting these words together, and you just can't. And then when you get it, it just all unravels, and green, 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 green. There it is. It's an exciting moment. That's a picture here of a problem solved. And those knotty questions, those big questions that confound us and confuse us, there's so much pain and so much evil and so much heartache and so many questions. I have them, you have them. Doubts and fears in our lives, things that we can't understand. But when we pass into the presence of the Lord, like a problem solved, like a knot unraveling, we will know even as we are known. We will see face to face what we have so far believed and trusted by faith. So that's the word that Paul is saying. It's a philosopher's word, a theologian's word, if you will, to solve a mystery. So many of the mysteries of life and death, of pain and suffering that we cannot solve today in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Eureka. It will all make sense. This word was also used by sailors, a departure, when they would pull up the anchor and set the sail and follow to distant horizons, adventures on the way. And this is a picture that he gives of what it means to die, that we are pulling up the anchor and we're setting sail to a beautiful new destination. It's glorious. It's also a farmer's word. When farmers at the end of a hard day of work would unleash the ox and sit down and rest. And at the end of the day, at the end of a hard life of working and serving, Paul is saying, I'm going to rest now in the presence of the Lord. I'm going to rejoice now in the well done work of a lifetime. And one other final word, it's a soldier's word. It's the picture of a departure, tearing down, taking down the tent after a long battle, and to head home in victory. So when you see the word departure, or in this case, death, it means so much. What it means is that death is nothing to fear for the believer. We can view it through the lens of God's word. And as we, with the Apostle Paul, close it out, we can do it triumphantly and with faith and confidence. Paul died with utter certainty and confidence that his life was the Lord's. He said earlier, I know whom I believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him, which I have given unto him against that day. What day? The day I see Jesus. Amen. Paul had a day in his life when he met the Lord. He couldn't wait to be with the Lord. So maybe it's a good time just to pause and say, do you have a day like that when you have come to faith in Jesus Christ? A defining moment in your life when the miracle takes place. Do you have a day, that day of days, when you have given your life to follow the Lord Jesus Christ? For some of you, you may not remember the exact day, but you know that Christ has changed your days forever and the direction of your life. You know that you are a man, a woman in Christ because Christ has changed your life. Do you have a day? Because on that day, when we see Christ, that's the only thing that's going to matter. So there's closing, but not only closing, but contending. I thought about using the word competing because that's what it really is. Paul must have been a sports fan. And he certainly was familiar with the Olympian and Grecian games of the time, the battles that were fought athletically. So he uses a phrase here, three phrases. I've fought the good fight, I've finished the course, and I've kept the faith. And all of these are words, images of contending and competing and stretching and straining. We are in a battle. It's good news to know, men and women, that when you come to faith in Jesus Christ, you don't have to check your competitive edge at the door. That's a good thing because I'm pretty much a competitor. I like to win. If we're playing the game, we're keeping score, I'm playing to win. It kills me to lose. I mean, it destroys me when my team loses. Whatever we're competing in. Back to my father in the ministry, he used to say, I'd just soon win, lose an arm or a leg or a ball game. It doesn't matter. I mean, I'm built like that. And I'm glad to know that I don't need to lose that competitive edge in life. Don't check your competition, your contention against the right things at the door. We are contending for our faith. We are competing for the lives of our children. We're seeking to win at marriage. Lombardi, the great coach Vince Lombardi said, winning isn't everything. It's the only thing. And the Apostle Paul would have said amen because he said in 1 Corinthians 9:24, run that you may win. This isn't lollygagging. This isn't a short, you know, lackadaisical jog. He's talking about fighting. He's talking about finishing. And when he uses the word fight here, it's agonizomai. We get our word agony from this word. So you can just smell the sweat in the arena. You can hear the grunts and the groans and the pain and the struggle as this man is fighting. So when you think about this battle, he calls it the good fight. Fight the good fight of faith. Why is it good? Because it's a noble cause. It's a good fight. When you give it, you are your all. And men, and all you that love these dads today, I challenge you to keep fighting the good fight. Think here of a cage fight. This is hand-to-hand combat. We have three enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And the devil himself is our enemy who will do everything he can to defeat you, to destroy you, to debilitate you, to devour you, to deconstruct you, to disillusion you, to disappoint you. And so we're in the cage. Paul described it in Ephesians chapter 6 as wrestling not with flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers in the darkness. This spiritual invisible war that is going on all around us. And then within us, you'll fight till your dying day as a Christian to control your thoughts in the battlefield of your mind. Paul did. Romans 7, we covered that several weeks ago. The things I want to do, I don't do. The things that I don't want to do, I do. It's a battle for your mind. So Paul is saying, I'm going to keep fighting all the days of your life, my life. And for you, you got to keep fighting. Some of you are older now, and you're thinking, well, it's time, you know, for the lazy boy. No. If you're not dead, you're not done. As long as God has given you life and given you breath, He's given you a calling. And this noble cause and callings to keep going, getting after it. We would fight with agony, with extreme energy and exertion. Dads, we will always fight to teach our children the Word of God, a biblical worldview. We will always be fighting to resist temptation. We will always be fighting as we are contending for the faith. We will always be fighting to strengthen our souls, to fight for our families, to contend for the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus. I know. Sometimes it's just easier to quit, just to lay down or walk away. But I'm challenging you today, every one of us, to keep fighting, keep running, keep believing, expecting to prevail, expecting to win. It's tough because, you know, the devil doesn't fight fair. You realize that? We have an enemy who is a liar and a cheat. He's a dirty fighter. And so sometimes, in the midst of that confusion and chaos, we want to tap out. Or throw in the towel. The fight can be exhausting. But let me remind you of what Paul said in Romans chapter 16, verse 20, that the God of peace one day and one day soon will crush Satan under your feet. That's a promise from the Word of God. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Satan is a defeated foe. And we live in the victory that our Savior has given us. So if you're down right now and you're not on the track and it can happen, or you're not in the fight, it's time to get up and get back in. There's so many things that need to be done. Jesus is still Lord. He is still with us. Not one step in this walk with Him, in this race with Him, has He ever not been with us. He's still answering your prayers. He's still strengthening your heart. He's still building His church. He's still inviting us to go forward, to believe. Here is a promise from God the Father in Psalm 37, 23 and 24. The Scripture says that though we fall, we will not be utterly cast down. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And though we fall, we will not be totally devastated because the Lord upholds us with His strong right hand. And men, if you have fallen, if you have failed, and all of us have, this is the time to get back up and get going again. And as we are contending, we are fighting, we are running this race. He said, I have finished the course. And the only way to do that is to stay focused on the finish line and to be focused on the one to whom we are running. What did Paul said in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14? I press, again, same kind of word, agonizo, I press toward the mark for the prize. This is not a time to relax and coast in. I'm staying focused on what God has called me to do. I've decided to keep going. I've decided to keep running, to stay in the battle, to keep asking God for miracles, to keep believing God for greater things. I'm going to keep going. How about you? Are you willing to say, Lord, my life is in your hand. Don't stop. Don't get stuck. Keep going forward. Don't be defeated. If you're knocked down, be determined to keep going. And when you're tired and you're exhausted and you don't think you can go another step, remember the source of your strength. He is the source of our strength. The way we keep going, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Ephesians 5:18, to be full of the Holy Spirit, to be controlled by the Spirit. God has given us a purpose, and God has given us a hope and a future, and we can keep going to the end of the line, to the end of the finish line, and to the finish line, and again, not drag in or even stumble in, but go through with our hands held high in celebration and in recognition that we are seeing Jesus. I know. You feel like sometimes you're going 3 steps forward and 10 steps backwards. But when you face obstacles and opposition and adversaries and failures and disappointments, keep looking to Jesus. Keep trusting. Hebrews chapter 12 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Not looking at others, what others do. Stay in your own lane. Not looking at obstacles in front of you. Not looking at circumstances that surround you. Run your own race. Don't allow lesser things to distract you from what God has called you to do. Don't live for lesser things, wasting your life on things that don't matter in the end. I mean, what are you chasing? Guys, in particular, men, what are you chasing in your life? What are you running for? Acquisitions? Appearances? Achievements? Accolades? Applause? Affluence? Affection. What are you chasing in life? Run for the prize. 1 Timothy 6, 11-12. Verses that I have scored in my brain. That we are to pursue righteousness and godliness and faith and love and perseverance and kindness. This is what we pursue, men and women. Ask God to give you the spirit of Caleb. His story is recorded in the book of Joshua. You remember Caleb. If you've been around your Bible a bit, it was he along with Joshua which stood in faith to say, let's go take the promised land. They were voted down. The majority's not always right. They were voted down, these two men, Caleb and Joshua, but they were given promises at the time that they would enter the promised land. And as a result of that promise, they kept persevering, Caleb and Joshua, through the wilderness, through all the defeat and the despair and the death that was all around them. They kept going and then ultimately cross over to the land of promise, and they're dispersing the land, giving the possessions and the promises. And in Joshua 14, 10 through 12, look at this. It says, now as you can see, Caleb is speaking. The Lord has kept me alive and well as he's promised me for all these 45 years since Moses made this promise, even while Israel wandered in the wilderness. Today I'm 85 years old. I am as strong now as I was when Moses sent me on the journey. And I can still travel and fight as well as I could then. So give me the hill country, the mountainous region that the Lord promised me. You will remember that as scouts we found the descendants of Anak living there in great walled towns. But if the Lord is with me, I will drive them out of the land, just as the Lord said. So here is Caleb, an 85-year-old giant killer. He says, don't give me a place on the porch. Give me that mountain that the Lord promised me. Give me the promise that God has given me. Let me at those giants. He said, if I can't get them with my sword, I'll gum them to death. But I'm going to get them. 85 years old, and he's still running up the mountain. He's still chasing the victory and the promise that God had given him. May God give every one of us the spirit of Caleb. And most of all, the spirit of Christ. who for the joy that was set before him scaled another mountain, the place called Calvary, and carried a cross. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. Keep contending. Keep competing. And one final and very brief word, because we'll have all eternity to celebrate this. Keep celebrating, because in the future, we're going to be celebrating with Jesus. Paul said, there is laid up for me this crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the judge, the righteous judge, will give to me, and not only to me, but all who love his appearing. Amen. These are the men and women who win, who one day will see Jesus face to face. The book of Revelation speaks of the elders, the 24, taking crowns and lay them at Jesus' feet. If you've ever seen a championship game, we saw it just this week. The Warriors won another one. But just to see the celebration and holding up the trophy and the tears and the triumph and the excitement, we see it from time to time, but it is nothing compared to what we will experience when we celebrate our victory in the presence of the Lord. And we are crowned literally garlands, as in the Olympic Games, they would take a garland crown and put it on the athlete, the winning athlete's forehead. And now we one day will be crowned. And we'll take our crowns and say all praise to Jesus for giving me this life that wins now and forever. Men, this is our legacy. Ladies, this is your legacy. To fight the good fight, to finish the course, to keep the faith, to earnestly contend for the faith, to guard the gospel, that's what that means, and to be faithful. It's two parts, really. To guard the faith and to be faithful to the Lord. To be faithful to the end. Paul said, I have kept the faith. I kept believing all the way to the presence of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Let's stand together. Everyone standing, heads are bowed, please, and eyes are closed. Before we give this invitation, I want to pray for the dads in the room. Men, this is for you. So just pray with me. Lord, we know that your eyes are scanning to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking for men whose hearts are strong and steadfast and blameless for you. And so scan this room, Lord, and see these men standing who desire to be steadfast and strong as men, as fathers, as husbands. Lord, help us to love our wives well and lead our children faithfully. Lord, help us to show your love, to love you with all our hearts, mind, soul, and strength, and then to love those around us, even our enemies, Lord. May we show your love. Help us to be strong in our faith, filled with hope and conviction, and live without compromise on the issues that matter most. May we stop chasing lesser things. And Lord, may we have hearts to long and live for you, to long for your coming, to love your appearing. Lord, help us to find a place of witness and service that we all can be in this battle, that we all can be in this competition to see lives changed and a new generation coming behind us until you come again. Lord, may you bless these men and keep them and make your face to shine upon them and be gracious to them. And turn your face towards them. And give them peace. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, this is the moment that the miracle can take place in your life. the day, this day, can be your day. If you will simply pray a prayer like this, online or on site in this room right now, just pray, Lord Jesus, I invite you to come into my life. I believe you died for me and rose again. And I personally trust you as my Lord and Savior. I believe. I call upon your name. The Bible says whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. This is your day. This is God's day for you. You're not here by chance or accident. You're not watching a screen somewhere by accident or chance, but this is your moment that God has prepared for you. So say, thank you, Lord, for loving me and giving me your life and salvation, for forgiving my sins and changing my heart and giving me the hope and the promise of eternal life. Help men and women to do today, and boys and girls, what they will celebrate forever in heaven: salvation and eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for worship at Prestonwood. As you heard earlier, if you made a decision for Christ, please text JESUS to 74788. We would love to connect with you and give you these great resources to help you grow in your faith. One is a New Believer's Bible with helpful notes to help you study God's Word. The other is a book by Pastor Jack Graham on the next steps to take as you pursue this new life in Christ. As we close, I'd like to thank you for your faithful giving to support Prestonwood and the work God is doing through our ministries. If you would like to give, text word GIVE to 74788 or visit prestonwood.org/give. It's been a joy worshiping with you, and we look forward to seeing you again soon.